All right, everyone, welcome back to the New Era Sense podcast. This is episode number 15. I'm joined by Brennan, and hockey is back this week. Actually, very excited to see hockey on the TV. Obviously, we can't go watch games this year, so it'll suffice for now. But nevertheless, I'm very excited to see hockey back on the TV and watch some games. And today, I think it was Pittsburgh kicking it off with Philly. And I normally don't watch those games, but I was all over that earlier today. Super excited to get the Sens hockey back and rolling. So, Brennan, did you watch any of those games? I know that Montreal was just playing Toronto. I did pay close attention to that. So let's hear it.
Oh man, I am fired up that hockey's back. I've been glued to my TV since what, 5:30. Yeah, it was an excuse to have a couple beers, sit back, finally watch this. I've been waiting for it. It's kind of just in perfect timing with Ontario lockdown kind of kicking off into full bore. So I watched a bit of the games on NBC, so Philly, Pittsburgh, but Philly kind of ran away with that one. And then I caught pretty much all of the Montreal Toronto game. And yeah, I mean, the teams look a bit flat. I thought the Leafs looked pretty flat personally. They're still able to squeak out the win with that Morgan Riley overtime winner. But but yeah, and I mean, one guy that really stood out to me is Josh Anderson on Montreal. He kind of just brings so much energy to that team, especially a team that's a little smaller and has a lot of skill. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it's just gotten me so excited for this Canadian division and just the rivalries and everything that's going to be coming. And wow, I feel like a kid on Christmas morning right now. I'm fired up.
Yeah, I feel you, dude. And what sucks for me is that the Sens are one of the last teams in the NHL to start their season. I mean, unless you think about Dallas, who's been hit hard with COVID, they're probably starting a bit later. But in the sense that, you know, Sens are scheduled to be the last team to start on January 15th, which, you know, it sort of hurts for me, because I know if you look at the Sens, I think we're one of the teams who've played, you know, who've played less in the last 10 months, who've waited the longest to start their season. And, you know, we were promised a longer training camp, and I don't think we necessarily got more than 2 or 3 days extra than most teams, right? So a bit unfortunate to see the Sens start in only 2 days. But so yeah, it just made me pay attention to the Leafs and Habs game today. Go ahead.
Sorry, no, I just kind of on that note, like one thing that's kind of crazy to me is just how flat the Leafs and Montreal have looked. Or not even necessarily Montreal, but the Leafs look pretty flat. Pittsburgh looked a bit flat. Just from having all that time off, and now I'm just kind of worried. I'm like, damn, I really like, what, it's going to be over 300 days that since Ottawa's played their last game in regular season. And that's just something that kind of worries me, is I'm like, okay, like these teams are already looking flat. There's been an even longer wait for the teams that didn't make it into the play-in series last year. So as a Sens fan, a little concerned about that. But
luckily, though, this is my one perspective on it, is that most of our team is a whole brand new team this year. So most of the guys we brought in this year have, you know, some of them have played in the postseason last year. You know, so in that sense, I don't think we'll be too rusty. I do think the boys have been practicing. Obviously, Timmy has played in Mannheim and went to World Juniors, so I think he's fresh to go and ready to dominate. So in that sense, I think we'll be fine. But like you said, just paying attention to these other teams, it's sort of scaring me just a little bit. But some big takeaways I did take is that like the whole league just looks so wide open, and I'm not going to knock on all these other teams, but in the terms, if you look at it in the sense that the North Division is at least, you know, there's six teams looking to fight for four positions. If you ask many people will just write off the Sens right away. I just don't think the Sens are that far off compared to what I've seen today and all the other teams on paper. I think the Sens could really challenge for a spot and, you know, at least make their way in conversations for the playoffs. So I'm really excited to see how this season will go, because it's so new and we've never seen anything like it. So it should be entertaining, and, you know, just don't write off the Sens is what I would say.
Yeah, I completely stand by that, man. I it's funny, like obviously we're a little biased because we look at this roster and we're like, oh, Josh Norris, stud, and Drake Batherson, stud, and I mean like Tim Stutzel, obviously a stud. So we're looking at it. And I think when we look at it, we see these young up and coming players and plugged in, and we're like, yeah, like these guys are legit. Like these kids can contribute, and they can really complement a nice top six. But I think that it's just a true testament when you look at some of the cuts that the Senators made on Monday, or when they came out with their final roster. And I think that just with that, like, it kind of does go to show that, hey, they are going to be competitive, and they brought in a lot of guys like the Dadonov, Galchenyaks, Stepan. Like those additions, like these are guys that can play. Like these are guys that have played NHL games, and they can score too. Like they're real contributors. And yeah, I mean, like, I think that Ottawa's going to have to work hard every night. There's no doubt in that. And we saw what happened last year when they worked hard. They obviously didn't finish great in the standings, but they were in a lot of games and they competed night in and night out. And that was kind of a big thing that DJ Smith prided the team on. And that became a bit of their identity was, yeah, we might not have more skill, but we're going to outwork you. And I think that if they can translate that into this year and they can bring that mentality in with the roster that they have, they can upset a lot of teams. And I mean, I'm not going to be here and say that they're going to be in a playoff spot or on the cusp of a playoff spot, because I don't want to set unrealistic expectations for the team as well as our fans. But I mean, at the end of the day, like I think that this is a team that is capable of beating any other Canadian team on any given night. Like, I think that yeah, if I was a betting man, there's a lot of times that I might take the Sens against the Leafs as an upset or things like that, because I think there's going to be a lot of games this year where they're surprised because they're tough, they're gritty, and they have a lot of skill, a lot of young skill too, and a lot of potential. Yeah. So yeah, I'm excited for sure to see what happens.
And some of the emphasis that I think, you know, DJ Smith has put on the players is that he always challenges his guys to work as hard as they can. And that was sort of the focus in training camp, is that whoever outworks, you know, whoever will make the team. The person who works the hardest will earn their own spot. And I think that just goes to show that he really pushes the work ethic out of some guys. And we've seen it last year. I mean, not necessarily the best team last year, but we've had really close games that I could have easily turned around, one goal games. And we worked really hard where, you know, could have been a different story for a lot of these games. So, I'm expecting a little bit of the same thing this year. Obviously, things are different. It's a new roster, so I don't really know what to expect. But some lines we've seen so far in training camp has really stood out to me. I do enjoy, as they call it, the stepdad line, where it's Stepan, Dadonov, and Stutzla. I think that's a great, you know, second line punch for this young team. And you look at our top six. I could sell anybody on our top six, and that's, you know, you ask any other fans in the North Division, all write us off, but that's a really, really good top six. And I really like the line with Tkachuk, Norris, Batherson. Obviously I think Batherson has taken strides, and he's obviously only going to keep getting better. He does every year. And just to see Norris fight his way onto this roster and just cement himself to be on that line with those two guys, I think it just goes to show how ready he is. And I didn't necessarily expect that to happen. But it's refreshing to see that our young players are really taking over this team, and it's finally time for us to at least trend upwards. And that's really refreshing. But on sadder terms, we did lose Balsers to San Jose. They did pick him up. I was sort of upset with that, obviously, but I think I'm just nitpicking at this point. We have so many guys, and they did bring in so many players that in a sense, it is bad asset management, but it's hard to see Balsers earn a spot this year with all the players that we brought in. So it is unfortunate, but I wasn't surprised that San Jose picked them up.
Yeah. I mean, 100%, man. I think it's always tough to see someone go, and especially a promising prospect. And I mean, we could definitely look at it and say, okay, did Dorian bring in too many cooks in the kitchen up front? Maybe we didn't need all of the Austin Watsons and the Haleys and the Galchenyaks and all of that to take away a spot from Balsers. But I mean, like, at the end of the day, I think that the only way we can really look at this is if he had an NHL spot, he would have gotten it given to him, and or he would have earned it. Sorry, he wouldn't have had it given to him, because clearly DJ Smith doesn't give anything out. But I think at the end of the day, Balsers proved that he wasn't worthy of one of those spots, and they weren't going to give it to him just based on potential. And I mean, as much as I am a fan of Rudy, I think that this is something that unfortunately we're going to see as Sens fans, is that we have a lot of prospects. There are a lot of kids coming up and like a lot of promise coming up, and a lot of good players in terms of the Formantins, the Abramovs, the Logan Browns, the Shane Pintos, the Bernard Dockers. And you can go through and like, you look at our forward depth, and unfortunately there's more prospects than we have NHL spots. And I think that kind of the whole premise of why they made such a competitive pool is for these players to compete. And unfortunately, like on certain years, or like when push comes to shove, there's going to be players that knock other players out of spots and that are going to earn their paycheck. And I think in order to build a healthy team, that's something that you need to do. In order to build a winning culture, you need to have that compete. And as much as it sucks to see Balsers go, and it sucks even more to see him get claimed, especially to San Jose, I think that's kind of just them trying to spite us a little bit after the Carlson trade personally. But I think that at the end of the day, it kind of just is a bit of a testament to the depth that we have as an organization and a depth in our prospects. And it just goes to show that, you know what, like, as much as it sucks, like we have so much promise and things like that, that losing Balsers, it might not just make or break us down the road. Is he going to be an NHL player? I think so. I think that kid's going to play in the NHL. I think he's going to be a top nine guy. Like, I think he'll play third line. I think he'll contribute. But I also think that Dorian is a very well calculated person, and I don't think that he's going to do anything, or I don't think that he's going to do, he would have made that move if he thought that it was really, really going to hurt them down the road. So, I mean, I'm happy with how Ottawa's looking. I think that unfortunately it's a bit inevitable that not all these prospects are going to play here forever. And if Rudy's able to earn a spot on San Jose's team and not end up back on waivers, then good for him. I wish him all the best. And I want to say that I hope that he plays on San Jose's opening night, or when he's able to clear quarantine and be able to play. I might be lying a bit, because I'd love to see him get thrown back on waivers and come back to Ottawa. But again, wish him all the best. He's a good player, good kid, promising prospect. One thing that you did talk about though, Nick, and kind of want to get back to just that Chuck Norris line, and then the stepdad line, hanging out with our soon to be 19-year-old Tim Stutzel. So we got to, hopefully he gets along well with his new stepdad. But kind of going on about that, the standard at camp, it seems like, aside from maybe Christian Melanin, is Josh Norris. Josh Norris earning himself a spot on the first line, no less. On the Ottawa Senators. And I mean, I think a lot of people were rooting for him, but I don't know if they necessarily thought that he was going to get the spot over Logan Brown. It kind of seemed like Brown had a bit of the favored hand going into camp this year. What do you think on that?
Yeah, so I was sort of surprised to see Josh Norris make the team, because I think that's one of the guys I had pegged to spend another year in the AHL. I do like Norris. I really do enjoy what he brings to the table. But I mean, just look at what they did with Batherson. Batherson took a longer time, even though we pegged him as being ready, I think, for 2 years now. They still sent him down. So I don't know if this is like a 9-game trial, just to see how it goes. But just to make the opening night roster just goes to show that Josh Norris is really much capable of hanging out with the big players and keeping up with them. And I think Logan Brown, this is his fifth year in camp, and just the fact that he wasn't able to beat out some of these guys, you got to think that either the organization doesn't really view what he brings to the table, or it's just a lack on his part. And I would expect that would be the case, because like they said, they'll just bring in the best players, the people who are in their spots. So I'm happy to see Norris, and I think that's a really good line for him. I do think it's quite of a young line. I do want to see him play with an older presence, I think would be good. He is not the biggest guy, so we'll see how that goes. Obviously, being with Kachuk, you're pretty safe there. But we'll see. I don't think the lines are always going to stay the same. A lot of things are going to change this year. And if he's able to stay up in the lineup and you know, at least cement his role and why he belongs there, I am so happy. And we'll see how that goes. But just Logan Brown, it really is upsetting, because at this point, I don't think his value is that high either, if we were to trade him or what would happen. And you just got a feel for the guy and for him, you know, what his thought process must be. He probably isn't the happiest. And how do you think he feels just knowing that for the fifth year he wasn't even able to, you know, to crack the taxi squad?
Yeah, I mean, I sent out a tweet today kind of about this, because I've noticed that Twitter's erupting in a lot of different favors, like, oh, well, he's got to be getting traded down. I completely agree with what you said. Like, Logan Brown's trade value at this moment is going to be at an all-time low. So trading him, I don't think is a smart option, and I don't think it's something that Dorian's going to jump all over. He was an 11th overall pick, and he has tremendous upside. Like, he truly does. But I think it's a classic case of Logan Brown is a hell of a player, and kind of like what I said in my tweet, like, I just personally think that he needs to be in a top six role in order to be effective. Just, he's a puck mover, complete skill guy, elite playmaker. He uses his size and his reach in order to create tremendous plays, be able to draw extra space out, create space using his stick, make those open seam passes, find streaking guys, whatever it might be. And I think that he got beat out. I think that Norris showed that he was ready, that he was better for that. And I just don't think that Brown would excel in either a bottom six role, or if he was on the taxi squad. So, I mean, like, I totally understand why the AHL is a better fit, for Brown. He can play that top line with Formanton, continue to work his game, continue to prove that he is that elite guy. For me, the biggest thing with Logan Brown has always been his compete. I don't know what it is. I feel like there was games that I've watched in Belleville, even when he played for the Kitchener Rangers here in my hometown. I've noticed that he has such a tremendous skill set, but he just doesn't seem to bring it every night. There's some nights where he looks like the best player on the ice. There's other nights that I can't believe he's 6'6" because I can't find the guy. And it's just one of those things where it's like, as much as I see what he brings and what he's capable of bringing, I just question his work ethic, honestly. I question his drive. And if there's one thing that DJ Smith preaches, it's drive and it's work ethic. And as much as it sucks to see this guy not make the NHL team 5 years after he's been drafted or so, and a top prospect with top talent. Yeah. I also understand it, because if he's not bringing that compete, he's not competing in camp and he's not earning that spot. Well, I mean, like we said before, Brown's not handing anything out to anyone. Who knows if Colin White's even going to be in the opening lineup, and that guy's making what, $5 million a year? Pretty damn close to. So it's just one of those things where, as much as I love his potential, I love what he can be, and like, I haven't given up on him, because I do think that he can be a 50, 60 point getter, like a 40 assist guy, a PP1 kind of guy for Ottawa. I just don't think he was there. And you know what? Kind of touching back on Josh Norris too, I think a big thing that Sens fans need to remember when looking at this is that it might not even be that Norris it might not even be that necessarily Brown didn't deserve a spot. It might have just been that Norris deserved it more. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what it comes down to. Maybe it comes down to the fact that Norris put on a show so much that they were like, holy shit, we have to put this guy in. We don't have a choice. Like, he played so well, he clicked so well that he earned that spot. And I think that maybe it's kind of more of a testament as to how much Norris stood out, compared to how underwhelming Brown was. And, Norris and Brady played together at that USNDP program, the US National Development Program. They have that chemistry. They have that history. Norris works hard. He doesn't quit on pucks. He checks. It's kind of like what's that common Josh Norris quote? He's not good at one thing, or he's not good at, or amazing at one thing, but he's good at everything. And I just think that that kind of play can really complement Brady Tkachuk really well. Especially since they have that pass chemistry. Like, I can just see the way that he fights for pucks, goes in behind the net, never quits on plays, like that tenacity playing with Brady in front of the net. I can just see how effective they could be, and how DJ Smith would have just been drooling at them, especially with Batherson and Norris chemistry that was displayed last year when they were absolutely tearing it up in Belleville. So
what I would have really wanted to see though this year, and I think this is sort of just to give Logan Brown a chance. I thought, okay, it is his fifth year. What's their plan with him? Because at this point, what are you trying to do? And I don't know how much more development he needs in the AHL to be to just get a role on the NHL. I mean, he's been pretty solid for the most part. He's been a decent player, and he's played with good players. And I think that's just it. Like what I expected this year for Logan Brown is that they would at least give him a role and players to play with and at least see how it goes. Just to see that he hasn't even gotten that chance this year, maybe blame it on the fact that they brought in too many warm bodies, and that's probably, you know, just it. But at the same time, I thought that this guy was for sure at least a lock on this team, just to see how he'd have done. And I mean, that would have made the most sense for me if he hasn't performed or whatnot, then send him down. But at least give him a chance in the NHL to see what he can do, and good players to play with.
Yeah, no, I mean, I do understand that, like, especially because it's like, okay, we do have to be patient with these guys, and at some point, like, when are we going to give these guys opportunity, right? I think that is a big part of it. But I mean, I think a real truth that we need to face here is that Eugene Melnyk has come out and he believes that this Ottawa Senators team is ready to compete. And I think that there's pressure on ownership, which translates to pressure on management, to make a team that has a chance to win every single night that they play. And as much as there is like a huge focus on developing prospects right now and making sure that these prospects turn out and giving them a chance and kind of injecting this youth movement into Ottawa's veins, I think that this pressure of winning now has led to some decisions that Sens fans are left scratching their head at. And whether I think either you look at it and you say, you know what, competition's good. No one deserves to win to have a spot handed to them. Or you look at it and you say, no, I think you need to give these kids a chance. I think that this Logan Brown kid, he deserves 10, 15 games in the show. Let's see what he can do. And I think, like, as Sens fans, there's going to be people that are on both sides of that right now. But I think that the hard truth is that ownership wants them to win. Melnyk has come out and said that if it wasn't for the Canadian division, he would have expected Ottawa to compete for a playoff spot right now, which I don't think any fans even have that expectation on Ottawa, which, I mean, like, at the end of the day, like, I am not one to rip on Huge. There's enough people that do. But I just think that that is a reality that we face, is that there was a reason why these bodies were built in or brought in. And I think that it is important to insulate these players, but I also think Ottawa is trying to get back to winning. And I think that if they felt that Logan Brown was going to give them a solid, solid chance of winning every night, he would be on the team. But they must not have. They must have thought that there was other guys that would. So
yeah.
That's kind of how I see it.
And also, I mean, if you look at, you know, the other pieces we have in the organization, you have to assume that they have a pretty, you know, well thought plan for guys like Pinto, JBD, guys like, you know, Thompson, obviously Sanderson as well. But just a guy like Pinto, that's another center that, you know, projects to at least be, you know, a good second line, I would say, player. And you know, if Logan Brown was on this team, what role would he be playing under Norris? I mean, Norris is already looking to take that spot for him. And it is unfortunate. But I mean, at this point, I just think that guys have, you know, surpassed him in terms of internal rankings and how the organization views these players. And it's just crazy to think that Melnyk, you know, plans for us to be competitive, because I think there's still a lot of missing pieces for us. You know, in a few years we might get there, but the time now, I don't think adds up in my personal point of view. I mean, I hope that this team goes out and proves me wrong. But just to hear that the plan is really taking place, because I was hesitant to actually believe Melnyk's plan, yeah. But it does seem that it's happening. So I'm really excited to see how that comes. One thing though, I do assume that they'll be trading for guys eventually. Usually teams do this when they want to push to playoffs and you know, contend for a cup. So I would assume that some guys would be brought in as well, and maybe, you know, flip some assets and flip some prospects for some players. And I think Logan Brown could be a piece going another way for someone else. I just don't know how much value he has anymore. So I just would have liked to see him in the NHL and sort of boost his value a bit up and to show that he's still very much capable of being a good player for us or for a new team, you know. So it'll be interesting to keep a tab on him. And even then, at the end of the year, if guys like Pinto and JBD come down, just to see them on the AHL team would be quite interesting to see. And I'm really excited to see how our AHL team does this year, because if I looking at them on paper, they don't seem so strong. So what's your thought on that?
I completely agree. It does kind of seem like Logan Brown is just this odd man out, because it's like, okay, well, hey, maybe next year. But then it's like, well, you know, next year Shane Pinto might come in, and Shane Pinto looks pretty good. So I don't know. Like, and it's kind of one of those things where it's like, well, you know, Stutzel's only going to be better. We got to hope Colin White turns into a top six player with the kind of money that we're paying him. And then there's almost just not really a place for him. And I mean, I completely agree with what you were saying about at some point we're going to be looking to be a contender, and we're probably going to have to package things up and make trades. And I truly believe that. I think that that's a big part of what Ottawa's doing, is they have a lot of quantity right now. Quantity was one of the biggest things that they went after. Quantity is what they went after with the Carlson trade, which, I mean, it worked out all right, because some of those quantity pieces turned out to be Tim Stutzel and Josh Norris. So we're really happy about that. But at the time of the trade, quantity was really the main focus. And I think that at the end of the day, there's only 12 forwards on an NHL roster. There's only six defensemen on an NHL roster. And you need to make those 18 players, sorry, quick math there, as good as they can be. It doesn't matter if you have 24 guys that can fill those spots and could be in those spots every night. I mean, yeah, you do have to have depth in case of injury and for internal competition. But I think at the end of the day, there's definitely going to be some pieces where we're probably trading two or three of these kind of blue chip prospects, or just kind of while they're getting into the NHL, for some better guys, for like one player that can be a top six guy, or just the right pieces that we need. So I definitely think that's a real reality. And I do think that Logan Brown would fit that bill. But yeah, like you said, his value is not good. Like, we don't want to be at the other end of a Kyle Turris trade where we're giving this guy up for far less than what he's worth just because he's not a fit in our system. Like,
yeah,
he's a good player. He's going to play in the NHL. He's going to play on an NHL power play. Like, it's going to happen. It might not be in Ottawa, and it might not be this year or next year even, but like it has to happen. Like, for that not to, I would be so surprised. He's already shown that he's capable of having that skill, or that he possesses that skill, and he's able to display it in the NHL. So I don't know. They're in a weird spot. I think that Ottawa is kind of just really trying to show that they're not going to just give him a spot to give him a spot. And yeah, it's going to be interesting, but yeah, that's kind of my take on that. And then also, Erik Brännström getting sent down to Belleville. So you mentioned, at the end of that, you're wondering about, how Belleville is going to do. The thing is that if I'm correct, they're playing in all Canadian division as well, right? Mm-hmm.
I think they're only playing, three teams: Laval, Toronto, and Winnipeg, Manitoba.
And those three teams are not good.
No.
I was looking at that, and so that's kind of what I was thinking, is even if Belleville is not necessarily as strong as they were last year, in terms of even just a regular season, I think they're going to do pretty well. Because those are the teams that they're playing. They're going to look well. Brännström kind of sucks for me. I'm a huge Erik Brännström guy. I've seen his skill. I kind of fell in love with him a bit at the World Juniors a few years ago when he was still Vegas's product. It sucks because his defensive game needs to come a long way. I don't really know what happened with him at camp. I don't know if he's injured or if he had COVID.
Yeah. So he was in close contact with someone with COVID, and he was also battling, I think, a minor injury. But I think the plan for Brännström, it's sort of been pushed back a little this year. I see it more as like a conditioning stint. Go back to Belleville, get in shape. You haven't been much on the ice. You haven't really been in training camp. Go back there, do your stuff, and come back after and hopefully fight for a spot on this team. And I think that's exactly what he's going to do. And I think they're going to bring him up and make him play in the NHL. I do believe that. And I think they're still high on the franchise. So I won't give up on him too soon. And it just sucks that, you know, he is still in the AHL in that sense. But I do think that he'll find some way in the NHL this year. That's my thought.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't think that's a bad idea for him either. Like, I think that just with what happened with him last year, I really would. And also what happened with Drake last year, in that they both kind of started in the NHL and then it didn't seem like they were ready and they got sent back down to the AHL. And then kind of after 20 or 30 games in the AHL, I was like, okay, these kids are probably ready now. Maybe they're kind of learning on that. And they're like, you know what, maybe it's better to start them in the AHL and have them work their way up instead of putting them in the NHL and maybe playing with their confidence a little bit, especially for a young defenseman like that. So maybe it's just kind of a better play to start him in the AHL, especially like you said, he didn't have a full camp. He was playing in Switzerland, which is awesome. So I'm excited. And listening to his interview, he said that he's regained a lot of his confidence, which I'm really, really happy to hear, because when you're a defenseman of that kind of caliber and you play that kind of game, confidence is something you need to be able to pull off some of the plays that he does. So yeah, I mean, I think it's good. I think that playing in Belleville is great. I think it's good that Brown, Formanton, and Brännström are all there, because at the end of the day, I think that all three of those guys are going to be legitimate players for us in the NHL. Sounds like Ridly Greig might also get a good look in Belleville. I don't know what's going to happen with the CHL, but he'll be down there too. So I think that it'll be really good for their development. I think that they're all going to be really, really good AHL players. I could see the team doing well. They're going to have a good goalie. We know that, whether it's Gustafsson or whomever, Mandelis as well, right? So I think that their team's going to shape up pretty well. And I just hope that they can kind of getting sent down, obviously, is not easy. It's not fun. So I'm just hoping that those players can really take that as, you know what, like, this isn't a dig at how I'm playing. This is just, I need to be better. I need to take this as an opportunity to improve my game, not take this as an act that my game sucks kind of thing. So yeah. I just hope that they can see it as an opportunity instead of kind of a slap in the face. And if they're able to do that, then I'm really looking forward to what happens this season with them, all three of those guys.
And just looking at the roster, I think this is the biggest takeaway for me. Just looking at the roster at training camp last year and the roster that was submitted for the start of this season last year, we've taken a whole, you know, we've taken a whole new direction. It's a whole new team. It's looking really bright in Ottawa, and I think people just have to remember that. So overall, I'm really happy with things, you know, have went, and I really do like the final roster so far. Obviously, we might see some deals nearing the end of the year, or things might change. So I'm not really sure how that'll go. But right now, just looking at this team, I'm looking at a good team trending up and a team that could compete in a few years, which I think is exactly what Sens fans want to see. So overall, I'm really happy with things, how they're shaping up and the franchise in general. And dude, if we don't have a good year this year, even then, that's still another high-end draft pick, and we come back next year even stronger. So I'm just so excited to see how this year will go, because it's so different, you know, and I kind of like it.
Oh, I love it. I was saying that to my dad today when I was watching hockey. I was talking to him and I was like, man, like, I love that we get to watch Canadian teams play each other every night. Like, there's something about hockey night in Canada that I've always enjoyed. And I've always enjoyed those matchups. And even when it was like just Toronto and Montreal, I was excited. But like, okay, Ottawa's going to, like, Brady and Matthew are going to get to play eight or so games this year against each other.
Unreal.
Ottawa and Toronto, like, we're going to get the Leafs. We're going to get Montreal. And like, kind of like we were talking about before, like, how this is going to be just so important for building up those rivalries again, right? Is just having all those games against each other. So I'm so excited about that. It sparks my interest so much more watching those games, and like just getting to see Connor McDavid a lot. Like, I'm so excited for this season. I think that I love it. Honestly, if the league decided that they wanted to make this a permanent thing where there was a Canadian division and we played the Canadian teams more than we played the American teams, I would be all for it. Because I just think it's so cool and so great that we have this chance.
Yeah, and you know, just speaking about the rivalries, it's going to be something that's going to be obviously interesting to keep a tab on. But speaking of rivalries themselves, and more prominently the Leafs and the Sens, we did bring in Alicia and Dave from the Battle of Ontario podcast. So that will be up on our YouTube channel. They'll be solely on our YouTube, so you can catch their segments on the Battle of Ontario. They'll be touching on, I think, the history of the Leafs and Sens rivalry. So that'll be cool to check out. And I'm really excited to see what they bring into the table. And just to hear, you know, also Dave is a Leafs fan. Just to hear, you know, the thoughts on both sides to these rivalries and these stories, I think will be obviously really cool to keep a tab on. And I think this year will just reignite more flames to sort of have more stories to come. And I think the Canadian division just might get us there for the long-term future. It might just make these rivalries more intense, which I love to see.
Yeah, for sure. No, definitely super excited to have them on board. It's going to be bring a kind of a cool aspect. And what a year for them in terms of this podcast, because there's going to be a lot of Leafs and Suns games and probably some rough ones too. So I think that rivalry is just going to spark that much closer. It's going to be great also in terms of standings, because now these games are going to matter so much more. If for whatever reason, let's say the Leafs and the Sens are close together in the standings, those 2 points are turned into 4-point games, right? So, I mean, I guess that was already the case when the Leafs and Ottawa were in the same division, but yeah, I just think that the stakes are going to be even higher. And yeah, so it'll be cool to hear their podcast for this year, especially.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that there hasn't been many Leafs and Sens podcasts. Maybe fans hate each other so much they'd rather not know each other all the time by speaking different sides, but it'll be cool. Just based off the Habs and Leafs games today, I mean, whoa, that looked pretty intense. And it was a really high, and you know, it was a really high energy game and a lot of back and forth. And if that's the case all year for all these matchups we're going to have, damn, I'm really excited to see how that goes.
But, I can see why Ottawa brought in so many tough guys. I'm excited for it. We might have to see Wayne Train get another fight for the Leafs. Maybe he'll take on. I don't know if he's going to want to go Austin Watson or Brady or good Branson. There's not really any good options for him. Josh Brown too.
Jeez. Yeah, we're looking like a scary team, and I think you know that's interesting because just Wayne Simmons' fight today, it did seem like it did turn the tides and really got the Leafs back into the game. And I don't know how our team is going to translate with so many tough guys, but I do expect them to obviously be a hard team to play against and maybe a little bit scarier this year. And you play a team 10 times, you know, you're going to be scared sometimes. Like they're going to be intimidating, and that has to come into play at least for some games this year. So we'll see, but I do think the Sens steal a few games away from these teams, and might be a really cool way to start the season if we can win a game against the Leafs.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'd love to see, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago now when Austin Matthews started his career off with 4-goal game against Ottawa. I would love to see Timmy Stutzel do the same thing against Toronto on his birthday, his 19th birthday. What a way to walk in that would be. Honestly, I'll just take one goal at this point if we can get a win too, because Toronto did not walk away with that game with the W. Ottawa still ended up finding a way to get it. So I think that Ottawa and Toronto games have always been good. When I was in university, my roommate was a diehard Leafs fan, and every time Ottawa and Toronto would play, we'd always have a Subway bet. So we would put Subway on the line. So whoever lost, whatever team lost, had to buy the other guy a foot long of his choice. And it was funny because obviously whenever he'd win, he'd be like, oh yeah, it's the cold cut combo. And whenever I would win the bet, I was like, "Oh, buddy, we're getting the steak. We're getting the nice. We're adding avocado onto that bad boy.
avocado.
A little bit of everything. Like I was not messing around. But it's funny because when we had those games, like Ottawa won a lot more in the last few years too, even when they weren't a playoff team. Than you imagine. I think Ottawa plays pretty well against Toronto. So I'm excited for that. And especially now that we're getting better, I'm even more excited for that. So
Yeah, no, for sure. And dude, there's literally no words except I'm so excited. And especially the 2D jerseys and all these new faces in our lineup. I'm so stoked, dude. And I know one guy who's really excited, and that's Frankie McDonald. People might have seen his video on Twitter trending saying how he was so excited and that the team would be good this year. And he's actually joining us shortly in this podcast, so you can skip ahead and listen to that. But super excited to talk to Frankie. I mean, he's obviously a diehard Sens fan, and he lives in Nova Scotia, if I'm not wrong. So he does a little bit of weather over there too, and all around good guy. And I think we're a big fan of Frankie.
Oh, massive fan of Frankie. He does a lot more than just weather, just a little bit of weather. He's a full-time weatherman. I would say one of the best in the business, as well as a comedian and a dance video enthusiast, I think is what he called it. I'm not sure exactly, but a man of many talents, and a diehard Sens fan. So you're definitely going to want to check out that interview. It is incredibly awesome to listen to. Frankie is an inspiration to everyone. What he's been able to accomplish in terms of his weather videos, in terms of just reaching out to the community and having community engagement. Every time I see a Frankie McDonald video, I check it out. I smile. I enjoy it. I love his content. And it's pretty awesome that he's a Sens fan. He decides to rock the 2D logo, and we were lucky enough to catch up with him on the interview because he's fired up for the season too. But just a great guy. And just someone that is a thrill to watch, a thrill to listen to.
Awesome. And I love that you say that, because next week we actually have a big guest, and he's a former NHL player. I don't know if he officially retired yet, but he did play on the Sens, so we might see a comeback. But that's Mark Mathot, and I'm super excited to talk to him. I know you'll be joining me as well as Dave. So I hear that Mark Mathot's a really laid back guy. I hear him on TSN 1200, and he's always chatting up with the boys. So I think we'll have some good questions for him, and super excited for people to check that out.
Oh man, I'm so excited. We're definitely looking forward to that. I'm sure the fans are going to be excited too. I think we're going to try to make sure that we have some good questions for him, because it sounds like he's pretty relaxed in whatever we ask him. So if anyone has any questions, feel free to let us know on those as well.
Awesome. So we'll wrap it up here, and we'll see you all next week for next week's episode. And as always, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for the Frankie episode. Take care. Bye.
All right. Hello, New Era Sens fans. So today on our podcast interview special, we are very pleased to welcome special guest, weatherman, comedian. What else do you do, Frankie?
I do dancing videos too.
Dancing videos too. Okay, so Frankie does it all. And on top of all that, he's also a Sens fan. So we are very pleased to bring this special guest. So how are you doing today, Frankie?
I'm doing great so far. And I get a copy of my book right here. Be Prepared to Find Out Guide to Life, Letter, and Everything.
Awesome.
You got your
book right there. So can you tell us a bit about your book?
My book is written by Sarah Sollers from Nimbus Publishing in Halifax.
Awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. Want to tell us a little bit about what it's about?
It's introducing Frankenfeld. That's the sample page.
Oh, that's awesome.
Amazing. So does it talk about how to be prepared for life or how to be prepared for weather, Frankie?
Be prepared, like my autobiography about me and weather and things like that, like a biography about my childhood days. That's me when I was a little boy.
Oh, look at that. Now, you've come so far. So when you were a little boy, did you want to be a weatherman?
Yes, when I was a little kid back then.
Wow. Okay. So and then you followed through with your dream. Does the book talk about that a bit?
Yes.
Awesome. So Frankie, I think Jacob has a bit of a cool story for you. I think you guys might have actually met before.
Yeah. So
me when I was only 17.
Oh, no way. There you go, with the Senators jersey on. That's awesome.
Oh, that's perfect. And that's that is awesome. You know what, that looks just like the 2D logo, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's the same one. Are you happy that they brought back that jersey this year? It looks a bit better, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Do you still have that same jersey?
I still got I got a previous logo jerseys.
You got the previous logo jerseys. So maybe for the Christmas list next year, we'll try to fire that up. So are you excited for the season?
Yes, starting tomorrow on January 13th.
All right. So what are your predictions for the season? Do you think the Senators will be prepared?
They're going to be prepared. They're going to try their best.
They're going to try their best. Okay.
That's all you can really ask for right now.
That is about all we can ask for right now. Who's your favorite player right now, Frankie?
I'm Anderson. He used to play for Ottawa.
Yeah. No, he was a great man. He gave a lot to the community.
An action figure of Frankie McDonald.
Can you put that up to the camera?
That's awesome.
What does Frankie say? What does it say?
Frankie says, be prepared. That's awesome.
Frankie says, be prepared. This is a box of Frank Dow action figures. The action figure box not opened at all.
Wow. That's awesome.
Mint condition. So do you sell those, Frankie?
It's on FrankieActionFigure.com. Ben Campbell, he lives in Big Spring, Texas. He's designed Frank Dow action figures. So I got a bobblehead of me.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Right.
Does it all. You got all the merch. Oh wow, that is incredible. I think every household isn't complete without one of those.
I think I need one of those.
That means you can get them on National Bobbleheads Hall of Fame website in Wisconsin.
Out of Wisconsin.
Now, I'm going to go check them out.
I saw a recent video of yours. You were saying that Madison, Wisconsin's getting hit with a bad storm. Did that already come through?
Yes, and Vancouver, British Columbia already came through too.
Came through too. So I heard in Ontario we're having what's called a polar vortex coming. Do you know anything about this?
It's going to be extremely bad. Polar vortex, extremely cold weather.
Extremely cold weather. What should people do to be prepared for the cold weather?
Real warm.
Okay, real warm. Probably get groceries too.
That means I want every single Ottawa Senators players to get a vaccine for COVID-19. Every single NHL players to get a vaccine for COVID-19. And the coaches and the officials and the referees and general manager of the hockey team and things like that. And it's the only drivers that get the COVID vaccine.
Yeah, it's definitely important to stay healthy in these pretty questionable times. Not really sure what's going where. And definitely good to do the best you can to stay healthy.
That means they get that all NHL players have to get the COVID vaccine, every single one of them.
Every single one. I agree. That's awesome. Is there going to be enough vaccines, Frankie?
They're going to – Joe Biden's going to get sworn in as the 46th president of the United States next week.
Yes.
January 20th. He's going to ramp up the vaccine production a lot.
Yeah, he is. You're right.
He's going to help Canada in the United States. Joe Biden's going to speed up the people getting vaccinated.
Perfect. No, that's good. Yeah, you know, I think that what we've done already is impressive, and it's very promising, I think. So you're right. Everyone that can get vaccinated definitely needs to go out and get vaccinated. Frankie, do you have anything to say about people who might be scared about getting vaccinated?
That means side effects. And that people get a little sick of side effects or to feel ache and bones because they're building immune systems. They're training. They're building immune systems to attack COVID.
Exactly.
I like that. That's good. That's good for people to remember.
So kind of staying on COVID a little bit, I am also from Nova Scotia, Frankie. And so I think I am very blessed to be from here, especially during this time, because our government did a good job keeping us safe.
Dr. Strain just issued they're going to vaccinate 10,000 people per day starting in late winter to early spring.
I saw that. Dr. Strang has been doing very good work.
It's starting in the late winter. They're going to vaccinate 10,000 people per day. That's what he said.
That's awesome.
Amazing.
I'm really glad. So speaking of being from Nova Scotia, I've actually had the pleasure of working at a boys and girls club in Cape Breton. And I actually got the opportunity to meet you there. This would have been last winter. I don't know if you would remember. But I was told quite a bit that you spend a lot of time there.
I spent a lot of time there when I was young. That's before I danced at the bars and things like that. That's before I danced at the bars like Castile City and the old Triangle Dualies and Daniels and things and the Black Diamond.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, I've heard a lot. I've heard that you do a lot for your community, and you have in the past as well.
That means I was dancing with women down in Steel City, in Sydney, Nova Scotia, Dooley's in Sydney, the old Triangle, and then and Daniels in a Black Diamond.
You're a dancing machine, Frankie.
Yes.
Do you? What kind of dancing do you do?
And when there were karaoke nights on Wednesday at the Steel City, and Dooley's in Sydney, Nova Scotia on Saturday nights.
But not with COVID, probably, right? Just before COVID. And then when COVID's gone, are you going to go back to dancing?
When the COVID's over, when a lot of people get vaccinated, I will return to dancing with women again. Return to dance with women once again at Dooley's in Sydney, Steel City, Black Time at the Old Triangle, and Daniels.
Do you miss dancing?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you want to dance right now? I'll dance with you. Mm. Yeah, there you go.
Like you can't see me. My camera's off, but I'm going to.
That's nice. Is that your signature move? What do you call that?
That's dancing.
Okay. Do you got any? I've heard you're also a comedian, Frankie. Do you have any comedy skits you could bless us with?
I want to eat 50 hot dogs once. Eat them all right now. Eat those hot dogs right now.
You want me?
Get up. Eat 5 more hot dogs. Don't go fall down.
Is that the full fit? No ketchup or anything, Frankie.
I just did a video. Guy tries to eat 50 hot dogs once on my YouTube channel, Dogs and Wolves.
I think I saw it on TikTok too.
Click the subscribe button on my YouTube channel. The video Guy tries to eat 50 hot dogs once is uploaded by me on May 21st, 2012.
Perfect. Well, I checked. I think I saw the hamburger one. Was there a hamburger one and a hot dog one?
Yes. I uploaded hamburger one.
Okay, I think I must have missed the sequel where the guy tried to eat the hot dogs. I must have only seen the hamburger one, but I'll definitely check out the sequel and I'll definitely subscribe. I think
Guy tried to eat 50 hot dogs at once video 9 years ago.
9 years ago? Wow. So you've been doing this for a long time.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, you can tell. You're talented. From what I hear, you might be going on a world tour.
I'll be going to every country in the world.
So after COVID, and then so are you going to be doing speaking at those countries?
Yes.
Awesome. That's exciting. So where are you going?
Everywhere in Canada, everywhere in the United States, everywhere in Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, Costa Rica, Honduras, and Panama, Colombia, Venezuela, Peru, Ecuador, Bolivia, Brazil, Chile, Argentina, UK, England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, France, Spain, Portugal, Germany, Denmark, Netherlands, Switzerland, Belgium, Italy, Greece, Albania, Serbia, Bosnia, Norway, Finland, Sweden, Romania, Bulgaria, Belarus, Russia, Eastern Russia, Siberia, and Far East Russia, Taiwan, Japan, South Korea, Singapore, Indonesia, Philippines, Australia, New Zealand, Indonesia, Mozambique, Madagascar, South Africa, South Pacific Islands, Tropical Pacific Islands.
Amazing. That's a good route that you're running there. You're kind of going up through Russia, and then you're going to come down through Asia back to South Africa. I like that. Are you going in that order?
Yeah, that means I'll be going all over the world, every single country ever.
Awesome, man. That's good. And what are you going to talk to them about? Are you going to talk to them about your life story?
Yeah, my life story and things like that. And dancing on stage. I'll be doing comedy skits on stage. I'll be doing jokes and things like that.
Sounds like a good show to attend. So yeah. We'll have to, when tickets are for sale, we'll have to let people know. So Sens fans all over the world can check out Frankie McDonald. Do you think you'll come to an Ottawa Senators game? And
yeah, maybe I'll be going to Ottawa Senators game, and I'll be going to every single NHL game all over Canada, all over the United States. How are we going to every single KHL game in Russia, too? How are we going to Olympics and places, summer, both summer and winter Olympics, to give out speeches?
Amazing. That'll be – wow. Okay, well, you know what? You're going to be a busy guy, Frankie. You might need to be that guy who eats 50 hot dogs a day, because you're definitely going to be hungry blowing through all that energy.
Yeah.
That means I'll be going to all every country in the world. I'll be giving out speeches at the and now we go to every NHL game ever, every KHL game in Russia. I'll be going to every European hockey game, soccer games, baseball games, football games, basketball games. I'll be going to golf and things like that. I'll be going to all the sporting events around the world.
Anywhere there's people, Frankie will be there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really great that you've created such opportunity to do all this stuff, starting with your comedy and your weather, and you've just done such a great job of building a name for yourself.
My Twitter is at Frankie McDee. My Facebook is Frankie McDonald, and Frankie McDonald fan page with a blue check mark. And Frankie McDonald on Instagram is Frankie McDee 1984. My TikTok is Frankie McDonald 1984. My Snapchat is Frankie McDon. My LinkedIn is Frankie McDonald, and my YouTube channel is Dogs and Wolves. Click the subscribe button to my YouTube channel.
Yeah, absolutely.
We will definitely be subscribers. That's the LinkedIn profile is nice too. Those are for those business inquiries, right, Frankie?
Yeah. I have LinkedIn for a while now too.
Yeah, I've got to sometimes keep things professional too. I deal with that quite a bit, finding those two things, you know. But you're everywhere. I think that there's probably not a whole lot of people on Twitter.
My Reddit is Frankie McDowell 1984. That's my Reddit.
That's your Reddit. Okay, we left the Reddit out. So
you're everywhere. That's awesome. Really good to get your stuff out there, because I see you post a lot and a lot of everything, really, all content, and it's good to be able to get it out on multiple platforms.
Now, Frankie, so I think we're going to wrap up the interview here. Just before you head out, is there anything you want to tell Senators fans just before the season starts on
Friday? I'd like to say good luck, Ottawa Senators, at the season. Good luck to all the NHL players, the coaches, the staff, the ushers, and their security guards, and the general managers and referees. Good luck in the season. 2020-2021. Then Ottawa Senators will face against Seattle Kraken in 2021-2022 season. Senators versus Kraken game.
That'll be exciting.
Yeah, that'll be very cool. That'll be interesting. What do you think of that team name, the Seattle Kraken?
That'll be a good one. That means Senators versus the Kraken.
Yeah, it's got a nice ring to it.
It does, and it'll be fun to watch. Those are nice jerseys as well.
Yes.
All right, awesome, Frankie. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up here, but it was a pleasure getting to look face-to-face with you.
Our previous Ottawa Senators game that was March 11th, 2020.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Against who, do you know?
March 11th, 2020 with the 3D logo.
Against the LA Kings, I think. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. That was the last game of the regular season last year, and then COVID decided to do its thing.
Best of luck to you. I'm Frankie McDowell. You're listening to the Ottawa Senators podcast.